The epistle for Quinquagesima Sunday is taken from St. Paul to the Corinthians. Brethren, if I should speak with the tongues of men and of angels, but do not have charity, I have become as sounding brass or a tinkling cymbal. And if I have prophecy and know all mysteries and all knowledge, and if I have all faith so as to remove mountains, yet do not have charity, I am nothing. And if I distribute all my goods to feed the poor, and if I deliver my body to be burned, yet do not have charity, it profits me nothing. Charity is patient, is kind. Charity does not envy, is not pretentious, is not puffed up, is not ambitious, is not self-seeking, is not provoked, thinks no evil, does not rejoice over wickedness, but rejoices with the truth, bears with all things, believes all things, hopes all things, endures all things. Charity never fails. Whereas prophecies will disappear and tongues will cease and knowledge will be destroyed. For we know in part and we prophesy in part. But when that which is perfect has come, that which is imperfect will be done away with. When I was a child, I spoke as a child, I felt as a child, I thought as a child. Now that I have become a man, I have put away the things of a child. We see now, though in a mirror, in an obscure manner, but then face to face. Now I know in part, but then I shall know even as I have been known. So there abide faith, hope, and charity, these three. But the greatest of these is charity. Please rise for the continuation of the Holy Gospel according to St. Luke. At that time, Jesus, taking to himself the 12, said to them, "Behold, we are going up to Jerusalem, and all things that have been written by the prophets concerning the Son of Man will be accomplished. For he will be delivered to the Gentiles, and will be mocked and scourged and spit upon. And after they have scourged him, they will put him to death. And on the third day he will rise again." And they understood none of these things, and this saying was hidden from them. Neither did they get to know the things that were being said. Now it came to pass, as he drew near to Jericho, that a certain blind man was sitting by the wayside, begging. But hearing a crowd passing by, he inquired what this might be. And they told him that Jesus of Nazareth was passing by. And he cried out, saying, "Jesus, Son of David, have mercy on me." And they who went in front angrily tried to silence him. But he cried out all the louder, "Son of David, have mercy on me." Then Jesus stopped and commanded that he should be brought to him. And when he drew near, he asked him, saying, "What wouldst thou have me to do for thee?" And he said, "Lord, that I may see." And Jesus said to him, "Receive thy sight, thy faith has saved thee." And at once he received his sight and followed him, glorifying God. And all the people, upon seeing it, gave praise to God. Thus concludes the words of the Holy Gospel. Please be seated. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen. Kyrie, quiu David, eleison me. That's the Greek and the English, Lord, Son of David, have mercy on me, says the blind man Bartimaeus. We quote him, our choir just beautifully sang exactly what he said to our Lord. Kyrie eleison, he says, may, and we who David, Son of David. Lord, have mercy. We begin every Mass by quoting the blind man, son of Timaeus. Can a busy man be slothful? Can a man who is a very busy man or a woman or a child, is it possible for a busy man to be slothful? In the midst of modern efficiency, I would offer that contemporary man can very, very much become slothful. The capital sin of sloth, the deadly sin of sloth, we generally picture immediately a couch potato or somebody who's lazy, somebody who does nothing. And that certainly is the first level of sloth, doing nothing. And the second deeper level is not doing that which is our highest good. So hence, a man who's not a couch potato, who hardly ever sits on the couch, can very much be slothful if he's busy about worldly things or even good things, but never touches the greatest of things. Does everybody see that distinction? So very important. So easy for modern busy man to be slothful. As Lent approaches and our battle against sin intensifies, let us meditate on this blind man as an example against sloth, which is, in my opinion, the most overlooked of all capital sins in our current age. The blind man Bartimaeus, he risks a lot to follow our Lord. He risks the reputation of the crowd. They knew this man. He was the son of Timaeus. He had some kind of reputation in the town. And he risks the reputation of the crowd because they were the source of his livelihood. They were the ones who gave them a shekel or two, gave him a shekel or two every day, tossed him a little loaf of bread, whatever they bought, or some vegetables. They were the source of his existence, of his natural existence. And he risks losing their support by not only not being quiet, by shouting all the more. He risks food and money to follow Jesus Christ. St. Cyril says that the blind man perceives our Lord not with his eyes, certainly, but with his heart. So secondly, his interior openness to grace, his interior to be moved outside of his very susceptible condition of blindness as a blind beggar, to be moved to a greater good, that was blessed by our Lord. And he was given the ability to perceive our Lord as his highest good, to move out of his condition. Secondly, the blind man Bartimaeus, as St. Mark in this account notes, that when he jumps up after our Lord, he casts off his garment, because his big garment would slow him down by getting to our Lord. And by casting off his garment, what else did he cast off? Because he'd hold out his garment, and that's where he would collect his money and his food. Do you think he could recover that? Imagine he had a robe full of food and money for the day, and he flings it off so he can run kind of randomly to get to our Lord. Do you think he's ever going to get that money back or that food back with that crowd? Fat chance, right? He risks that money and that food knowing he's never going to get that daily begging back. Throws off his cloak because it would slow him down by getting to our Lord. He's thrown away his daily begging and the source that he holds his daily begging in and the source of that begging, the crowd. This is like a triple, jumping off of the spiritual couch potato in following our Lord. St. Augustine says that all that is transitory to us is as nothing. For this blind man, the crowd was transitory. Their food and the money that they gave him, important and good, but transitory. The cloak that he collected that money in, transitory. That daily begging that he worked hard for, that is transitory. He left all of that for God. In my view, that's the opposite of a couch potato, of a spiritual couch potato. He gains from our Lord perhaps the greatest of questions that our Lord could ask a soul. What do you want me to do for you? Answer that question now in your own heart. Hear our Lord asking you that. What do you want me to do for you? It's a spiritual blank check. It's the what greater question could we have? The answer to that question will reveal our heart. What do you want me to do for you? Lord, I want the conversion of this person. I want salvation. I want my children or grandchildren or this or that for them. He, the blind man, receives this tremendous offering or opening by our Lord because of his faith, because of the faith of the blind man. Our Lord sees all that he left. All the dailiness, all the cloak, his reputation, he left everything. And this was a blind man. He was at the mercy of the village. St. John Chrysostom says, unless we pay with the coin of faith, our Lord will not grant us his favor. That is to say, if we want a greater favor by our Lord, we must pay with a greater coin or debit card, if you will, of faith. Our Lord will bless that. And once, sin is generally removed from one's life, where does one go from that? That's when sloth kicks in, and there's an answer for that. The blind man responds to our Lord, and lastly, in his antidote against spiritual sloth, what do you want me to do for you? The blind man says, in Greek, ego thelo anablepso. I want to see up. Ana means up, like anastasis, resurrection. It's the state of upness. I want to anablepso. The blind man doesn't say ego thelo blepso, to see. He doesn't just say, I want to see. He doesn't ask specifically just for his natural vision. He wants to see up or see with that vision of God. He wants to have that true vision of life, that true deistic vision. He even risks his own natural vision. He doesn't even ask for his own natural vision. He says, Lord, I want to really see. That's what he asks for. A slothful man, okay, Lord, just let me have my vision. Then I can have a nice little life here and in this village. He doesn't even ask for that. He's an antidote against that physical sloth moving toward Christ, away from physical needs and reputation of man, etc. And now he's the antidote against spiritual sloth. He asks for the greatest of goods, that faith in Christ. The blind man then risks all of these good things reputation, the source of his food, his daily food and money, his cloak, all these things are good, and you know, to a degree we have to perceive them. But he risks all of them for Christ. He risks a good thing to gain a better, and ultimately the best, that is our Lord. So the question for us as Lent soon approaches, what good thing are you pursuing that our Lord wants you to pay the price with, that He wants you to bless, that He wants to bless you with more? I thought of a few things. Especially in this political season, do we have to know every word of every politician, of every speech, so that we make a good judicial judgment when it comes time to vote? We don't need to know all of that. We don't need to know the news around the entire world at every moment of the day. We don't have to have 10,000 hobbies, maybe one or two, and just enough to recreate well. We don't have to aim to be world-class anything. Children don't have to be on 5 sport teams or don't have to do 5 activities. All of these things at a certain level are good, aren't they? Right? Wives, you just have to be a good cook. You don't have to be a super duper, you know, world class. Whatever it could be. Whatever good we are pursuing can very much become an end in itself. And at a point in the spiritual life, our Lord says, I want you to pay with that good. Give me certainly your sin that I might convert it, but now I want the good so we can pursue the better. As we turn to our Lord in Holy Communion, He who is our greatest good, may He give us the deep strength like the blind man Bartimaeus, away from sloth, away from even that which is good for Him, He our Lord, which is the greatest of all goods. Kyrie huiu David, eleison me. Saint Cyril and Saint Augustine, pray for us. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen.